Young people, it's great to have you with us tonight. And I've just been thinking, if we've been ministered to in song, that there's been a lot of songs in life that have had a great lot of meaning, great depth of meaning. Gospel songs always have a wealth of meaning. But sometimes there are secular songs that are sung that have a lot of meaning also. That is, to people who do not know Christ. And I suppose this song that I'm thinking of at this moment has perhaps some bearing to both Christian and non-Christian. Now, you young people, I don't know whether you know it or not. You may do. They're playing a lot of old songs back over the radio of late. But I'm thinking of a song that goes something like this. It's a long way to Tipperary. I don't think many of you young people could sing that. Do you know that song, It's a Long Way to Tipperary? It's a long way to Tipperary. It's a long way to go. Something about to the sweetest girl I know. Probably when you get a little bit older and you start to court one another, you might remember some of those songs. I think they're going to come back because I think that some of the tunes are very catchy for some of the young people. It's a long way to Tipperary. It's a long way to go. Something like Farewell Piccadilly, isn't it? Goodbye Leinster Square, something like that. Yes, how we used to sing them. But tonight I want to tell you about a long way for God. And the Bible says that God looked down upon this earth. And when he looked down upon this earth, his eye was watching every man, woman, young person, boy and girl. Did you know that God had an all-seeing eye? And the psalmist tells us in Psalm 14 and verse 2 that the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men. And you know, when I read that psalm, I wonder how many good people he saw. Well, the next verse tells me that he didn't see too many good people. Because the next verse in the psalm says, all have gone aside. All become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. You know, when I read Psalm 14, I see that the nature of man, woman, boy, girl, young person is just the same today. And yet there are many people today who think they are good enough for heaven. You ask most people, oh yes, I'm going to heaven. Well, I want to tell you tonight that the only way we can go to heaven is through a right relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to share something with you tonight. The person won't mind. You don't know who she is. A few weeks ago, a woman rang my wife, and she was in deep despair. And she said to my Beryl, she said, is there such a place as heaven? And Beryl said, yes, there's such a place as heaven. And this woman was in deep anguish because her daughter had suicided. And how she knew to contact us was that she'd been reading Christian Chat for the past 18 months. Beryl was able to counsel with her over the phone, which is one of her great gifts. One of her special gifts. I don't know how many people she has saved from committing suicide over the years through that special gift of ministry over the telephone. But she was able to give this woman an answer. Last Thursday morning, as I was in the study preparing, the phone rang at approximately 9 or thereabouts. I picked up the phone and it was this woman. She said, are you Ron Baker? I said, yes. She said, I talked with your Beryl a few weeks ago. And then she told me the story, how Beryl had greatly helped her. She said, I've just rang to tell you that I've read your article in Christian Chat this morning, and I've got down beside my bed and I've given my heart to God. That woman will be in heaven when she goes from this earth. Young people, I want to tell you tonight there's only one way to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as God looked down, the psalmist says, he could see that there were none on earth that were good. And as Isaiah the prophet says, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Or as Paul the great apostle said, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one of us that hasn't committed sin. And as the Bible says, the eye of God searches our heart. Because as Jeremiah the prophet, he said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. How hopeless it is then to dream of getting to heaven by our own goodness or by doing the best we can. So when I think of that, I think of God looking down. But then I could see that God was waiting for man to turn back to Him. I read through the pages of the Old Testament and I see how wayward the nation Israel had been on many occasions. And God longed for Israel to come back. You'll be reading at this time in your everyday with Jesus the story of Hosea and how God said to Hosea, go after your adulterous wife. Go love her. Love her. Go and bring her back. And you know, Israel as a nation was often in spiritual adultery. And God used to say through His prophets and leaders, go, go, and woo Israel back. But you know, there came a time, and as Paul tells us in the letter to the Galatians, that in the fullness of time, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, was born of a woman. And it won't be many weeks, young people, and you'll begin to think about Christmas. As a matter of fact, a lot of people are thinking about Christmas now. You go into most of the stores and they have all the commercialism of Christmas just before your eyes. And we'll all be part of it one way or another. And we'll think about the Lord Jesus Christ at Christmas time as the babe in the Bethlehem manger. But I want to think of Him tonight as the Lord of glory who came down to this earth. Because this earth became so sinful. And in John's Gospel chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. He said, I came down from heaven. Because you see, Jesus was looking down from heaven years ago. And He too could see that the sinfulness of man was a place of wickedness. You know, the Bible teaches that it's not God's will that anyone should perish. That we all should come to repentance and acknowledge Christ by faith. But as I look at the Bible, I see that God the Father sent His Son into the world that the world through Him might be saved. I want you to think about this tonight, young people. The Lord Jesus Christ, who left His heavenly home, where there was no darkness, where there is no sin. Now, I don't know whether you like to be away from home. But I remember when our children were small, they didn't like to be away for very long periods from home. They'd go away on holidays with somebody, or they'd go away on a camp. But they always longed to get back home. Or maybe you like to get away, I don't know. Some young people don't think home's much of a place sometimes, and they like to get away, and by the time they've been away about 3 days or 4 days, and they've got a pile of dirty clothes, and they don't like washing up the dirty dishes, they suddenly realize how valuable Mum is, and they can't get back home quick enough. I remember when I was an evangelist traveling around Australia in different parts of the world. I used to come home to my little hideaway in Grafton on the north coast of New South Wales. I got a little shack there. It's got a couple of rooms in it and a roof over it. Somebody went past it one day, and they said, oh my, what a shack. But it is just a shack. And you know, when I'd come home to that place, where there was a lot of tranquility and quietness, and I could roam from room to room and just be myself, I used to detest having to leave again to go away for another crusade. I didn't like leaving home either. But I had to go because God said to go. And I don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ really liked leaving His heavenly home, but His Father said, you've got to go, son. You've got to go. The world down there is in a mess. Did you see what was going on down there the other night, my son, in that wicked city of Sodom and Gomorrah? Oh, my son, did you have a look at what's going on down there in that wicked city of Brisbane? You better go down and tell them that we're alive and well. And you know, in Luke's Gospel, in the 19th chapter, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven to this earth to seek and to save that which is lost. He's looking for you tonight, young people. He's seeking for you. He's longing to save you. He's longing to have a relationship with you. He wants to have a love relationship with you. Not a kind of sloppy love or an erotic love or a physical love. He wants to have an agape love, or as our American friends call it, an agape love. He wants you to become Christian. He doesn't want you to primarily become a Baptist, God forbid. He doesn't want you to be a Methodist either. He doesn't want you to be a Presbyterian or anything. He wants you to be a Christian. He'll then put you in a local church where you can learn the Word of God, and you might have a Baptist tag or a Methodist tag or a Presbyterian tag. But one day when you're heaven bound, there'll be a whirlwind and all the tags will be blown away. You see, when I get to heaven, I don't want to tell Paul that I was a Baptist. I want to tell him that I was a Christian, because there's a few things I want to ask Paul. But the Lord Jesus Christ came down to this earth so that he could have a love relationship with you. He came down to seek you and to save you and to make you the kind of person that God wants you to be. God doesn't want you to finish up a drug addict on the street. God doesn't want you to finish up an alcoholic and a derelict in the park. God doesn't want you to finish up a failure in life. He wants you to be a Christian and have the God potential of being all that he desires you to be. But our Lord Jesus Christ not only came down, the Bible says that he laid down his life. In 1 John 3:16, the Bible says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." He laid down his life for us. And the Bible tells us that he did that on a cross on a hill called Calvary. You know, there are pages of the Bible, of the New Testament, that speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ as the great shepherd, the good shepherd, who came to look after the sheep. And why did he come to seek and to save the sheep? Some of you young people, do you listen to Mike Warnke? I get a lot of laughs out of Mike Warnke. He's good. And you know, he says in one of his tapes, you know, the Lord Jesus, he says, as the good shepherd came for the sheep, and he said, you know why? He says, because sheep are stupid things. Now, it doesn't mean that we, the sheep, as human beings, are altogether stupid. But we have a kind of stupidity that needs to be corrected by the great shepherd. And you know that stupidity sometimes leads us into sin and into immorality. And young people, the older I get, the more it hurts my inner being to see young people throw their lives away in immorality. Or you can enjoy the season of sin and pleasure, but it'll burn. It'll burn. We don't want you to be lying on your pillow night after night, sobbing your heart out. We want you to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ came down to this earth and laid down his life for you on the cross. He died on the cross that you could live and follow him. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay it down myself. There's no other way that our sins can be cleansed and that we can be forgiven. See, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life a ransom for us. And he did it willingly because he loved us. And so God looks down. And God comes down in the form of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus lays down his life. But you know, after Calvary, there came the resurrection. And the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead triumphantly. And he appeared to his disciples. He stayed with them for a little while, something like 40 days. And he taught them many things after his resurrection. And then one day on a hillside, he was talking with 11 of them. And he said, it's time for me to go back home. He said, but I'll be back. I'll come back and see. And so after 33 years away from his heavenly home, on the side of a hill, oh, there was no grand finale. There was no television sets and computers monitoring his ascension. There was no great boost of flame and acceleration of power. But Christ left this earth for heaven. And whilst they were watching him go through the clouds, two angels came and stood by them and said, now look, he's gone back home. We want to tell you that one day he's coming back. But when he comes back, he's coming back to gather his own. And so as he traveled to heaven, and when he arrived back home, he sat down, as the Bible says, at the right hand of God the Father. And you know, the only time that I can find that he stood up after that in the book of Acts is when Stephen was being persecuted. I've got a beautiful country and western song about Stephen being called home. But you know, I believe that the Bible wants to teach us clearly that the Lord Jesus stood up to welcome Stephen home. And so, young people, he's gone home for the time being. And of course, he has the name which is above every name. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you know, we have the example of his life in the Bible, and Paul reminds us that that example can be ours. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you believe that? Do you? And so we see tonight in this very simple gospel illustration that God looks down. God came down in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. His Son lays down his life for the sins of humanity. He becomes the complete sacrifice. He then rises from the dead. He ascends back to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And one day he's coming back for his own. That is, for all who believe in him. All who believe in him. In this church, we believe in the gospel message. In this church, we believe in giving people the opportunity to commit their lives to Jesus Christ. We want more than anything else in this world that you become a Christian. I'd rather see your life be Christian than to become a drug addict or an alcoholic or get entangled in any immorality. I'll tell you what we do, what we normally do. We normally sing an invitation hymn. And we normally invite the people who want to make a commitment of their life to Jesus Christ to come forward. And we pray with them and we counsel with them. Now, should your child come forward tonight and make that commitment by faith, you may say they don't understand it. I was a grown man when I became a Christian and I didn't understand it then. But I came by faith. And I did what the Bible said. I confessed Jesus with my mouth. And I believed in my heart. And I became a Christian. And I've had a beautiful life ever since. And should your child come forward and say, yes, I want to give my life to Christ. I want the Son of God to live in me. We got some literature. We're going to give them some literature that'll help them. And if you'd like me to come to your home and sit down and talk with you about it, I'd gladly come to your home. I don't know where I'll get the night or the day or the hour, but I'll get it from somewhere. So if you'd like me to come to your home and sit down and talk with you, then I'll come there. I'll gladly sit there. I don't care whether we sit on the lounge or sit on the floor or sit on a chair in the kitchen. As long as I can talk to you about Christ Jesus, the Son of God. And after we give them some literature, we usually pray with them. If you go to another church, we'll let your minister know. We'll let him know that the child has made a commitment to Jesus Christ. And I'm sure he'll be glad about that and he'll want to follow it up. So in a moment, we're going to pray. We're going to sing a gospel invitation hymn. And as we sing the hymn, the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart tonight and you want to come forward publicly and make a commitment. Now, a lot of people don't like that. They think it's non-biblical. I want to tell you it's the most biblical thing you can do. These people that get this idea that it's all emotion, they just haven't got it together. There's nothing emotional about coming to Christ. There's nothing emotional about an appeal. When the Spirit of God touches your heart, He wants you to respond. You see, when I look through the Bible, I see that Jesus called people to Himself publicly so that He could touch them and talk with them. And so you, as the Spirit of God speaks to your little heart tonight, you want to come out and you want to say, yes, I want to commit my life to Christ. I want to begin now. I want to become a Christian. I want the Christian life. We're going to pray with you. We won't keep your children long. Probably 10 minutes. Just to talk with them and pray with them. Our Father, we pray right now that He, the Holy Spirit, will do His own work and glorify Christ in our midst. Amen. Now what we're going to do now, we're going to turn to the hymn 301, which is a beautiful hymn. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now, some of you older people know also that there's things in your life that God is speaking to you about. And perhaps tonight you want to make an act of rededication, then you come. All you have to do is quietly just come to the front and stand. There'll be adults who will come and stand with you and pray with you. 301 is the hymn, Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the simplicity of the gospel message. We thank you for the truth that theologians cannot exhaust. But we thank you by faith we can accept Christ, the Son of God, into our lives. We pray now that mercy, peace, and joy will be ours this night. Amen.